Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning. Welcome to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake, the church where we are always seeking to know God, to love God, and to serve God. Today, we're going to continue to focus on the importance of gratitude. And isn't it wonderful that we're doing that just on a day when we happen to have something as a community to be grateful for, and it has to do with some people playing a game this evening. In addition, Pastor John's going to be bringing a message about grace and gratitude, so we hope it all comes together. Our worship leaders today are Bruce Stark and Greg Guise, as well as our adult choir. Thank you, choir. We want to offer a special welcome to any visitors or newer folk who are here today. We would love to have you stop by our Welcome Center if you haven't found it yet, because we have a small gift for you that includes handmade items from people in our congregation, so it's really nice. We would like to invite you, newer people, and everyone to fill out a connection card so that we know you were here, and you can place it in the offering plate, and you can put in also in the offering plate any prayer requests. And if you're joining us online, we're glad you're with us, and you can do the same things online. And now, as I share a couple of announcements, I'd like to invite any children who are still here in the sanctuary to head over to Sunday school or nursery. Now, announcements. Only three today. First, there's going to be a special Ash Wednesday service. Ash Wednesday this year is on February 14th. So there'll be a service at noon at Whitmore Lake, and there'll be one at 7 o'clock here at Brighton First. Ash Wednesday is the time when Christians receive a mark of ashes as we begin a time to prepare for Good Friday and for Easter. Second, in February, we're going to begin a Lenten study of a new book called The Third Day, which I have just been reading, and it's fascinating to look at the changes that happen in the lives of several people in Scripture in order to consider how our own lives are impacted by Jesus. You can sign up on those same connection cards. And then finally, you are invited to attend this afternoon our first ever Story Slam. A Story Slam is where people tell stories or poems, just brief ones, but they're wonderful and moving, and I hope you can come. We moved it up. It was originally going to be at 6 o'clock. We thought, moved it up to 5 o'clock. So you can come to the Story Slam, and then if there's anything else you need to go to, you'll be able to. Now I'd like to invite Joanne Schmidt up for a moment, a communication moment.
I guess I don't need to say I'm Joanne Schmidt. It's written in bold letters up there. For those of you who are converts to the Church Directory app that's online and on your phone, please bear with me for a few moments, but we're trying to create a few new converts to that. Connections, communications, they're very important. And I'd like to start, and I will be brief, with a passage from Scripture. It's from Ephesians 2:21. It says, "We who believe are carefully connected together with Christ as parts of a beautiful, constantly growing temple for God." For those of you who haven't seen the Church Directory app, when it's on your phone, it looks like the picture on the left, and the red circle at the bottom that says directory leads you to the second page. and then you type in a person's name, and that leads you to something like page number 3. I don't know if you can see from a distance, but there's a little telephone and a little word blurb there at the bottom. So if you want to call that person, you don't even have to type a number. You can text them and call them by just pressing the button. But sadly, and we'll talk about this more in a few minutes, more than 50% of the people who didn't have their picture taken have those not so beautiful brown leaves over there on the right that say image not available. So I'm hoping to demystify this process for those of you who aren't big on smartphone use. There's a two-part process for doing this. The first is that you will get an email, and we're going to resend these somewhere in the next 48 hours that will give you a unique ID, which you do not share with anyone else. But part one is that you download an app. If you're on a smartphone, it's from the iPhone App Store or Google Play if you have an Android. And you may need to dig out your email, your password for those. Once you put that in, then you copy and paste the ID from the email, and the email that will come to you looks like the thing on the left. And so it's not from this church or from me or from the pastors, so look for it. I don't think it'll end up in your spam, but you should get it in the next 48 hours. And if you need help doing any of this, I'll be in the community room after church, or you can get help by calling the office. And then the directions that come with those, that email, are on the right. And at the bottom, you can see that you can, if you're not interested in doing this, and there's, you know, no pressure to do this. If you're not interested, that's fine. You can do it from a computer as well. So the directions are at the bottom. And so then we ask, once you do this, or even if you're looking on someone else's app, would you please check your listing and look for updates? Is your phone changed? Have you moved? Do we have any misspellings? And this is for the database at the church as well as for this app. And Suzanne Everett has kindly put 2 new forms on the forms page of the website so that you can easily do this update. But if you're not a person who uses the website, you can do this by filling in a connection card, by calling the office. There are numerous ways to update your information. And my request would be, please send in photos. So the company that did the photos for us allows us to put in any photos after the fact for people. So if we could get closer to 75%, it helps us to connect with one another. I often sit in church and hear a person's name and think, I don't know who that is. So I click on my phone and, oh, that's who it is, because I can see their picture. So it's very helpful. Lastly, there's a request that doesn't have to do with this app. It's a request from the pastors to also fill in an emergency contact. Pastor John will explain why this is important here in a minute, but it's a separate form or as part of this form, and it has nothing to do with the app. It's not seen by anyone other than the office staff and the pastors so that they know who to contact in case there is some kind of an emergency. Thank you very much for your time. If that didn't cover it all, catch me in the back when we're finished. Thank you.
Oh, God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord of all, open our eyes to see the blessings happening before us every day. We thank you for the mercy you show to us. Help us to be gracious in sharing and in giving mercy as you have been to us. In your name we pray. Amen. This morning's scripture lesson comes from 1 Chronicles 16:8. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Well, I invite you to join me in the time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who gives us grace. Amen. Well, I really appreciate, Joanne, you coming and sharing the announcement with us about the church directory. And as she mentioned, the big reason why we're encouraging folks to do this is it gives us all a chance to be connected. And I'm very grateful for that opportunity. If you already received an email this morning, for me, it came like, I think it was really early in the morning, something like 8 o'clock this morning. It won't come directly from the church. It'll come from Universal Church Directory. So if you see that, that's what it is. It's not spam. It's not, you know, anything like that. But the other thing I wanted to say about that is early on last year, we received a phone call that somebody was in the hospital or actually a notification from another church member. And what ended up happening is this individual actually lived by themselves. And we'd spent a little bit of time trying to track them down because the hospitals aren't necessarily as forthcoming if you call and say, is so-and-so in the hospital? Of course, to respect medical privacy. So the reason for that emergency contact piece is every once in a while, and it's pretty rare, we go on a sort of search for which hospital in the area somebody might be in, whether it's Novi or Ann Arbor or anywhere else. And so giving us that emergency contact, maybe a next of kin, gives us a way of tracking somebody down if somebody's looking for a hospital visit. And so that's the reason for that. So enough of that piece of it. I just want to share with you today a message about my own gratitude for grace. And hopefully by sharing this, you'll also have a sense of gratitude for the grace that God has shown you in your life. We've been in the midst of this sermon series about gratitude and giving thanks and celebrating the good things that are happening in our life, even when life is filled with turbulent ups and downs, even when life is taking twists and turns, when things aren't going according to plan. It's possible to still experience gratitude and joy and happiness and thankfulness, even when things aren't going well. Sometimes it's easier to give thanks when things are going outstandingly. But this morning, I want to talk about being grateful for God's grace in our lives. In Methodism, we talk about grace fairly frequently. I oftentimes say, I think Methodists kind of have a corner on grace. I think our theology of God's grace is amongst the very strongest in all of Christendom, regardless of denominations. I hold on to this view because for John Wesley, grace was the cornerstone of our faith. He sort of anchored his entire understanding of his relationship with God on this experience of divine grace, but it didn't start that way for him. When he was going through the motions of becoming a pastor, because being a pastor kind of ran in his family, he was excited to become a pastor, but it actually took several years into his ministry before he was sitting in some sort of study experience, and he was reading the book of Romans, and he described this experience that he had, this profound spiritual experience of his heart being strangely warmed, and in that particular moment, it sort of believed that Wesley had a profound spiritual experience where he accepted that God's love and forgiveness was true for him too. I don't know if you've ever had an experience like that, where maybe this faith that some of us have reasoned through, or maybe we were just brought up with, and everybody in our family went to church, so we ended up going to church, but some particular moment in our life when all of a sudden it went from being an intellectual experience to an experience of the heart. But if you've ever had a transition like that, you know what a profound moment it can be. For me, it happened in college, or at least the most vivid experience that I can recall of this happened with America Online Instant Messenger. Does anybody remember that antiquated, unique technology? I mean, this was my favorite part of AOL Online. You would go onto the internet, and instead of just like instantly being connected from the miracle of Wi-Fi, you would go on and, you know, type in your password or whatever, and then you would hear probably one of the most obnoxious noises that the world has ever known.
Beep,
Yes. Thank you, choir. Can you guys sing that out for us? I mean, just like give us the real-time experience, but this screeching horrendous, and then you like go online and you like type whatever you were trying to get to, and it would take like minutes for it to load. Do you remember this kind of torture? So needless to say, back in the day when I was a kid, we would go onto this thing called America Online Instant Messenger AIM. People would type messages back and forth, and through the miracle of technology, we talked through these messages. And I remember I got into a conversation late one evening. At this particular time, I was staying in the church at Albion College. The United Methodist Church had an apartment that you could stay in exchange for free rent. You could open up the church every morning and shovel the sidewalk. So I would have been working this morning, but this particular evening was profoundly special for me. And it's strange to reflect on a very simple phrase, but it came through the instant messenger and it said, "John, you're a good person." And I don't know why I was in a particular like tender-hearted moment in this moment, but I remember thinking about that and wrestling with it. And this message had come through a friend of mine. She wasn't intending for it to be a theological statement, but I was all caught up in this kind of wrestling with a call on my life to go into ministry or to think about what it would look like to become a pastor. And I remember reading that and realizing that like that particular perspective was the perspective that God had not only for me, but for everybody, that God looked at us and didn't see us for all of the faults and failures and mistakes that we've made over the course of our life. God didn't see the winding road. God looked at us and said, You're a good person. You're my child. You're the one that I love. You're my beloved. You're one of my own. And I remember this like tingly feeling that started in my head and worked its way all the way through my entire body. And I'm kind of a sobber every once in a while. I'm like dry-eyed for the most part. But then all of a sudden, like especially at the end of movies, I mean, Lindsay can tell you, I'm just sitting, she's like, "What's wrong? This is a happy ending." And I'm just like sobbing. And that was my experience that night. I just broke down and started crying. I don't know about you, but something happens when this faith that we hear about, that God loves us, that we're God's own children, that we're forgiven, that we're seen as children of God. I don't know what happens for you, but when that makes a transition from the head to the heart and you embrace it for yourself, entire doors and pathways open up that you couldn't imagine or hope for. That moment changed my life. I got more involved in some of the campus ministries at Albion at that particular time. I felt a continued call on my life to explore service and ministry and getting involved in missions. And that moment sort of defined my pathway for the rest of my college experience into seminary. And I want to ask you this morning, have you ever had a moment with God where all of a sudden, that was honest, I appreciated that. Maybe someday it's coming. Have you ever had a moment with God where all of a sudden the faith that you've heard about becomes your own? Where all of a sudden you make this claim and recognize that God loves you and there's nothing that you could do to screw that up, that there's no way that God would ever leave you orphaned or abandoned, that God's love is real for you. It changes everything. Even when you're at the lowest point of your life, you know that God's still on your side, that God's got your back. And Wesley had this other profound experience that he was on a ship, actually, and all of a sudden a massive storm sort of came up out of nowhere, and all of a sudden he like found himself like shaking and wrestling with what he was going to do. He was afraid, he was anxious, and he looks over and these Moravians, and we all know like self-righteous people like this, you know, they're just getting together and they're praying, right? Like they're holding hands and they're singing spiritual songs. And Wesley looks at them and he goes, "I want a faith like that, that gets me through hard times, that even when my boat is shaking and things are getting turned upside down and I'm afraid of dying, I want to be able to have the kind of faith that allows me to just fearingly just sing out and rejoice and give thanks and praise." there have been a variety of spiritual experiences in my life. Some of them have been profound. Some of them have just been gut feelings, but I feel an overwhelming sense of gratitude that our spiritual story in the Christian faith was that God loved us so much that he sent Jesus to the world to reiterate that love, that he came not only for people like myself, but for everybody, that Jesus came and he said, you know, God loves the leper and God loves those who are infirmed, and that God loves people who are, you know, filled with demons, and God loves people who are struggling with addictions, and God loves people who are struggling with mental illness, and God loves people who once were persecutors of the church, people who rejected all the teachings of the church, but then became sort of one of the centerpieces in the Apostle Paul. God's grace worked on his life, transformed him, knocked him on the back, made him blind, and all of a sudden he came out of that experience going, I once was a persecutor of the church, and now my life will never be the same. I hope that at some point during the next year, and there are these gratitude journals in the back, I hope at some point during the next year, in one of your 366/5 notations that take place in 2024, you spend a moment thinking about gratitude for God's grace in your life. I sometimes wonder what it's like when we die. And there's this moment, I believe, where maybe we come face to face with God, the Creator, the one who made all of creation, everything in existence, and we look God face to face and we think about, you know, maybe like rehearsing, sort of like the prodigal son, Dad, I'm so sorry for spending all of your money, and then there was that one time that I disrespected my brother and sister, and there was that one time that I stole, and da-da-da-da, you're like rehearsing your lines. And God looks at you and says, my child, my son or daughter, I loved you from the moment you took your first breath, and that never changed. You who were lost has come home. I hope at some point during the year, you take a moment and reflect on God's grace in your life. I truly believe this, that there's nothing that any of us can do that can separate us from that love. We believe in the Methodist Church in three kinds of grace. This is something that I'm so proud to be a Methodist because of this. It's something that I hold on to and I believe in with my whole heart. It's that we believe in this thing called prevenient grace, this grace that comes before. It's this reason why we baptize babies, that even from the moment that they're brought into this world, that God loves them and there's nothing that they could ever do to separate themselves from God's love. So when we're up here baptizing infants and children, what we're saying is, like, God loves you from this moment forward. God has always loved you. There's nothing that you could ever do to mess that up. And then we believe in this moment of justification. For me, that happened in this, like, janky old apartment in Albion First United Methodist Church through this antiquated technology that barely anyone uses anymore, America Online, a message that came from a friend that I thought was from God that I accepted as being God's understanding of me when I was needing to hear that I was okay, that God loved me, even despite the fact that, you know, middle school and high school is a little rough for some of us. And then this is the most important part. There's a lot of theological traditions that'll say, that's great, you've accepted God's grace for your life. It means you're going to heaven. Good job. The rest of creation can burn. Have you ever heard messages like this? Sort of like, the only thing that matters is your individual salvation, your faith with God. And John Wesley, God bless him, said, that's not enough. If you're forgiven, if God's grace is sufficient for you, I hope you do something about it. I hope it changes your life and you go out and start preaching to coal miners and people who are imprisoned and, you know, folks who don't have access to public education. I hope you go and teach them how to read, because if God's grace transformed your life, I hope you change the world. This is what we call sanctifying grace. There should be some evidence that God is a part of your life. I don't know if you've ever met a church person who's like, I'm so grateful to have this relationship with God, but they treat people like garbage. Have you ever met somebody like this? I hate to say it, but yeah. But I sure know a lot of people who, when they claim that God has a hold of them and that God's grace is a part of their life, when somebody cuts them off in a terrible, you know, moment of road rage, they just keep right on going. When there's injustice in the world, they sort of, you know, take off their you know, whatever and put on their superhero cape, and they say, I think God's called me to do something about this. I know lots of people of faith that because of God's grace in their life, they decide to volunteer to teach kids how to read. I know lots of people who have been transformed by God's grace, and they think about people who get cancer diagnosis, and they come every Monday to make sure that there are prayer quilts available for people so that they would know God's love is for them. I know lots of people who have been transformed by God's grace, and so they teach Bible studies. I know people who have been transformed by God's grace, so they volunteer in the tech ministry or to teach Sunday school. That's that justifying and sanctifying grace. God's love has changed all of our lives somehow. And I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful for my moment at Albion College and moments that came after that. I'm thankful for people in my life who randomly would just say, John, that's God's grace in case you missed it. I'm going to hold up a sign for you in case you can't see it. That is God's grace in my life. Yesterday, I went back to do a funeral in Rochester, Michigan, yesterday afternoon, and I didn't realize it at the time. The funeral home had just called and asked me to do a service, and little did I know that the funeral was actually for the parent of two kids who were in the youth group at St. Paul's United Methodist Church in Rochester when I was there. And so when I walked into the funeral home to meet with the family, I walked in, and immediately they said, Pastor John. And all of a sudden, they went from this feeling of like, we don't know if we should do a service for our dad. We're not sure if that would be appropriate. I think we should just have a private service, just, you know, family only. And all of a sudden, when we walked in, immediately this guy said, I'm so glad we had a service. I'm so glad you're able to do it. This is God's activity in the world. This is God's grace. It's not coincidence. It's not random. It's not happenstance. There is a God who loves you, who's orchestrating all of these things, who's on your side, who's in your corner. Are you thankful for God's grace? I hope so. I would love to help hold up a sign for you. I'd love to meet with you, and if you're like, you know what, and I just love, I don't even remember, I don't know who said it, but like, have you had an experience of God's grace? No, and like, I would love to be a part of helping to point out the moments that I see God's activity in your life, because I believe God's there in every moment, small or huge, working for the good. I encourage you as you move through this year, 2024, to find gratitude for the God who loves you, who saved you, and is transforming your life every step of the way. Let us be thankful for God's grace in our life. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, none of us are finished projects. None of us finish where we start. None of us are capable of doing all of the things that we do in our lives by ourselves. And so we're thankful for your grace, for the moments in our life when we know that you are there with us, for the ordinary and the extraordinary. We give you thanks. And we ask that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to know that your grace is for us. Thanks be to God. Amen.
How can I say thanks for the things you have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet you give to prove your love.
Thank you, choir, for that wonderful special music, and thank you, John, for your message on gratitude and grace. Much appreciate being reminded the stories about John Wesley. And a few weeks ago, someone was up here and they read a poem before the sermon. Not that I think about the sit around reading poems or anything like that. But I did think about a poem that I've had sitting in my garage for about 40 years. I had a class in high school, and part of it was to do some poetry. And I selected a poet by the name of Stephen Crane. And it just so happened that his parents were Methodist, and he tragically died at a very early age. But one of the poems that he had has really stuck with me, and I've kept it for years. And so I'm going to read it here. It goes along with our series on gratitude, and in fact goes along, I think, very well with John's message. In heaven, some little blades of grass stood before God. What did you do? Then all save one of the little blades began to eagerly relate the merits of their lives. This one stayed a small way behind, ashamed. Presently God said, "And what did you do?" The little blade of grass answered, "O my Lord, memory is bitter to me, for if I did good deeds, I know not of them." Then God, in all his splendor, arose from his throne. "O best little blade of grass," he said. Gratitude for me is linked directly with humility. This poem expresses that humility. Remember what God has done. Tell others about it. Show God's glory to others. And then offer gifts of self, time, and treasures. We do have three prayer quilts to share today. One is for Heather Hudson, the other is for Mackenzie Diener, and a third one is for Sybil. Please take time after the service to tie a knot and say a prayer for each one of them. And today's prayer was taken from our scripture, very much so. The scripture that we had today was a psalm of praise given by David when they were moving the ark to Jerusalem. So please join me now in an attitude of prayer. Great and glorious God, we praise our Lord and proclaim your name. We sing to you and praise you for the wonderful things you have done. Let our hearts rejoice in seeking you, Lord, always looking to your strength. Help your servants tell others of your many wonders, miracles, and judgments. You are the Lord our God, who remembers his covenants and promises. Let us sing to you, proclaiming your salvation and declaring your glory every day. Lord, you are great and most worthy of praise, having made the heavens. Let us experience your strength and joy as we rejoice and worship our Lord. We give thanks to you, Lord, for you are good and your love endures forever. Save us, God our Savior, as we silently give thanks and glory in your praise. We humbly come to you, Lord, with thanksgiving and praise of your holy name. We give thanks for every good and perfect gift that you have provided from above. Let us give thanks in all circumstances because it is your will for us in Jesus Christ. Jesus left us with peace the world can't give and taught us how to pray. As we say in unison, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
So one thing that I'm grateful for, or one person I'm grateful for this morning, is my daughter Stephanie, our daughter Stephanie. I think Stephanie might be watching right now, and I am wearing what she spent hours to make, this beautiful stole. She wove it for me. And it symbolizes the way that our hearts are woven together as mother and child. When we begin to recognize that God's amazing grace goes before us and it's with us at this very moment and will hold us safe throughout all of time and for time beyond time, what can we do except catch our breath in wonder and gratitude and give from our hearts in whatever way God invites us to do. So I'm going to invite the ushers to come forward now as John comes up to introduce something special.
Thanks so much, Lynn, for those words, and thank you so much for being here this morning. We are going to do a mission moment. I'm sort of pinch hitting for Heather Butteroff, who has been coordinating a sock drive at our church for a number of years. Unfortunately, she's not able to be with us this morning. She's not feeling well, but there's going to be a video in just a moment to sort of tease this, but our church set a goal of trying to collect 1,400 pairs of socks so that we can distribute that in a couple of weeks at an event called Community Connect. If you're interested in donating socks, there are donation baskets available inside the community room. We'd be honored to receive those anytime in the next week here so that we can package them and get them ready for distribution. And you just, I wish you could all be there, you know, as these socks are distributed in connection with all kinds of other things that are given to vulnerable families in our community at this event that takes place at the 242 Church in a couple of weeks. I encourage you to give generously so that we can try to reach our goal of raising these 1,400 socks, but we appreciate your support. So I encourage you to turn your attention to the screen as we take a moment to watch this video that was produced by Heather's daughter, Sky.
One of the most important things during winter is keeping warm. Imagine waking up on a cold winter morning, but you don't have any socks. No one wants to walk around with cold feet, which is why we're collecting socks again for Community Connect. Community Connect is an event in Livingston County that connects people with things that they need. For example, socks. This year we're aiming to collect over 1,400 pairs of socks. Donating socks is an easy way to connect with our local community and help people in need. Please donate only new socks based on the first letter of your last name. Don't forget to turn in your sock donations by January 30th. Thanks in advance for your donations.
Lord, bless the offerings we bring to this ministry in our worship. Guide us in using these offerings to make disciples for you so that we can share your love and mercy with the world around us. God loves you. There's nothing you can do about it. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Well, as we close this service out, I want to let you know that we are in the midst of construction here at the church. So if you would like, I want to let you know that there are photos of the progress of our library renovation project that are on the screen at the end of the hallway. We're encouraging folks not to like poke your head in there. At this point, they're running electrical wires through the walls that they're building inside the library. So I encourage you not to like open the doors, but there are photos on the screen at the end of the hallway. So if you're curiosity has peaked, we encourage you to check that out. As you go out into this snowy and cold Michigan day, I pray that your hearts would strangely be warmed at about, I don't know, 10:30 tonight, when I pray that the Lions show ultimately that they are greater than the San Francisco 49ers. I pray that that you all have wonderful, safe, and enjoyable weeks. And I pray that you would be on the lookout for ordinary and extraordinary moments of God's grace, that you be able to see them, identify them, and claim them as your own, knowing that God is with you. Thanks be to God. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.